Hi, everyone. This is Dave Charest, Constant Contact's content manager, and welcome to another edition of the Speakeasy Marketing Roundtable. I am once again joined by some esteemed colleagues here, and I guess we'll have to do some introductions again. And we're going to start with Mr.
Gerhardt.
Dave Gerhardt.
Did you forget his name?
There you go. No, I was like,
nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. I work on the marketing communications team here at Constant Contact.
I'm Josh Mendelson. I work on the product marketing team here at Constant Contact with a focus on social media.
I'm Erica Ayotte. I'm Constant Contact social media manager.
/ goddess, as she'll tell you.
I love how svelte you get when hi, I'm Erica.
That's my I'm a business lady. Voice.
Yes, yes.
Oh, hello. Didn't see you there.
I'm a lady.
Lady.
Air quotes.
I'm using air quotes.
Air quotes,
if you can't
yes.
See that over the podcast.
And I am Danielle Cormier, and I am a social media specialist here at Constant Contact.
I'm Azure Collier, and I'm an education developer at Constant Contact focusing on social media.
Excellent. So, welcome everyone. And today we thought we'd start with a little bit of news in the social media world. And that news, of course, is Facebook's acquisition of Instagram.
Dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun. So, guys, what do we think about this?
It's awesome.
Thank you so much for listening.
Have a good night. I got very rich off it. No, I think it's great, especially with Timeline. Timeline is supposed to be kind of like, with Timeline, Facebook has kind of become like the visual storytelling hub for a lot of brands. And, you know, Instagram, and I use it, I love it. It makes me, who has no, photography skills at all, take, just regular pictures and makes them look awesome. So I think for brands, to be leveraging Instagram, already on their own is awesome. And now, obviously, with Facebook, I think they'll just make that a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I've always resisted Instagram as, like, some hipster tool that, like, only the cool social media kids use.
You say
like,
you're not cool.
So clearly you couldn't
use it. I mean,
you're
not. In your own mind. Yeah. Okay. Now that we've established
So I've always resisted it because I just didn't care. But I found myself, since the acquisition happened, using it more because I feel like it's here for the long term.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with any app that comes out, there's sort of a... It's like new TV shows that come on. It's like, do you really want to invest your time in some drama that's going to get canceled 4 weeks from now? And that's how I feel about a lot of apps. So for me now with Instagram, it's almost like...
It legitimizes
stamp of
it. It's okay, let me figure this thing out. Let me make my pictures look better than they already did, which were amazing to begin with.
Took them all of himself.
Right, right.
So.
So I want to invest in it now.
Well, I think, too, that Facebook saw that they were kind of missing the boat on the visual image community. And so I think it was kind of like, if you can't beat them, join them, or in Facebook's case, buy them for $1 billion. So,
yeah.
What do you guys, did you hear that, too, that Zuckerberg and I forget the head of Instagram there, like Zuckerberg didn't consult the board, really, when he went to go buy Instagram. He and the CEO of Instagram just basically like had a few brews and were like, yeah, I'll buy you for $1 billion. Okay.
He was like, I'm Zuckerberg, bitch, I'll do what I want to do.
The crazier thing is how they went from making no money to $1 billion overnight.
Yeah.
How many people work at Instagram? Like 6?
I think it was less. I know it was like around 10.
What is that? I'm bad at math. What does that equal per person? Like,
a lot.
A lot of fingers.
Yeah.
So maybe, maybe we should just, if people aren't too clear on what Instagram is.
Yeah.
Instagram is an app that you use on your iPhone, right? It's only iPhone? Or is
Android,
it on Android
now, too.
It's on Android now, too. And basically, it's a social network to share pictures.
It allows you to adjust them.
Right, yeah,
filters.
But when you take the pictures, it has these, like, hip things
filters.
That you can, filters and things like that, that will make your picture look cooler than you ever thought it could, kind of thing.
Right, it makes them look like, everyone loves looking at vintage photography.
Yeah.
So it kind of gives certain sheens to
itself.
Yeah,
vintage or
brighter. The other thing is, it doesn't have to be a social network, which I think is awesome for a lot
of
people.
Yeah, I keep all my photos private. You
totally.
Don't have to publish them.
You don't even have to, right. So if you just want to take a picture and just use the filter and then just keep the photo.
Use it on Facebook or use it on any of your
blog. So to be clear, you can follow people on Instagram.
Yeah.
Right. And you can post to Facebook and Twitter and any other platforms.
I'm not sure what others
directly
yeah.
from Instagram as well.
Yeah.
So there's the sharing element on the other networks, but you can also use it as a network if you want. Or
right.
like
or just use it as a personal
camera.
Yeah.
But I think one of the really smart things that Instagram did right out of the gate, and that's also driving a lot of Pinterest success and Pinterest interest, it's like,
well, you rhymed.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just wait till beer four. is, you know, they made the seamless integrations into Facebook, right? Because that's where everybody is. So making it easy to post Instagram photos to Facebook drives traffic for Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And when you drive traffic for Facebook, Facebook likes you. And I think Pinterest, too. Like, so much of their adoption was by people, generally women, people posting their Pinterest stuff to Facebook, not within Pinterest itself. That's changed a little as it's gotten adopted,
mm-hmm.
but I think the traffic driver for Pinterest was actually Facebook in the beginning.
And I think the interesting thing about Instagram that actually I feel like, I mean, sure, $1 billion, whatever, but I thought was interesting news was that when they actually started to allow the pictures to be viewed in Facebook.
Right.
Because what would happen is if originally when you shared an image from Instagram, you would just get a link to the picture on Instagram, and so you couldn't actually view the photo in Facebook itself. But they've
now
since changed that.
Yeah.
So it actually creates an album on your Facebook profile,
okay.
And you can actually, people can view the image right in and interact with the image. And I think that was a
smart
move.
And that's great
move.
For content. I saw infographic this week on allfacebook.com that said photos get 5 times more interest than links.
Yeah.
So,
but people are just so used to posting links that they just keep posting links when in reality photos are getting more engaged.
Yeah.
I think the other great thing about Instagram is, like, you know, the whole posting to Facebook. Usually, they kind of assume that if you're willing to post a photo from Instagram to Facebook, that photo is probably pretty important to you. You kind of like it. You did that for a reason. So I like how that whenever you post an Instagram photo, it's bigger. It posts to your timeline bigger than just a regular photo. So,
that's cool.
Which is pretty cool.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Well, you know, since we're here to kind of to talk about business and things like that, so how do we see or how do we think potentially a brand could use Instagram?
I think that they can use Instagram to easily make their products just stand out a little more. There's going to be more and more pictures on Facebook as time goes on. How are you going to make yours stand out?
Mm-hmm.
Make them look cool with Instagram. You don't have to change the look of your product to trick people, but you just can make them stand out with the effects that Instagram has.
You use Instagram for us, right?
Yeah, all the time.
And we're a software company. It's not like you're out there taking pictures of products.
Right. If we have Cupcake Day, I'll use Instagram for the photos that I'm going to post. It just makes them look
that's
a little
smart.
Bit more
that,
unique.
You know, I think that brings up a great point. You know, we talk a lot about engagement and, you know, getting people to kind of know your business and get to know the people. And I think part of that is knowing the culture that you work in as we sit around drinking beers talking about social media. But as you know...
Wrong.
put your pants back
off.
Yeah. So as Danielle's saying, you know, she takes pictures of the, you know, we have cupcake bake-offs and things like that. And that's actually, you know, like a really cool way to like take those pictures and kind of share a bit of what goes on in your business and at your company.
And still look good too.
And look cool, yeah.
You know, like to segue a little bit away from Instagram, I mean, one of the other interesting things that happened recently is, you know, YouTube added all this audio and video editing, increased audio and video editing capability to their platform. And I think the interesting thing, much like Instagram, is, you know, I mean, this is terrible news for professional videographers and professional photographers, but for the rest of us, you know, being able to create great visual storytelling, interactive storytelling online just keeps getting easier and easier. You know, you don't need to be a video editor to make your videos work well by adding music and doing simple cuts and all of that stuff. So for small businesses and for people who do this sort of on the side, you know, the tools are getting easier and easier to use
and
to
cheaper.
Tell your story and free in most
yeah,
places.
I only use my phone when I post a photo for Constant Contact. I use an iPhone, nothing fancy.
Yeah, yesterday I was at Fenway for the open house thing, and they open the stadium for anybody to just walk around, and that's a thing where traditionally, you know, it's 5,000 people with their cameras. I don't think I saw one person with a regular camera, just everybody or their iPhone or their Droid.
Yeah,
even
my flip cam doesn't exist anymore.
Totally.
Right,
yeah.
Even though
yeah.
I love flip cam.
The other thing, too, I think just to say, to hop on that, is that even though the tools are getting better, I don't think that photography and video needs to be slick.
Mm-hmm.
I think like there's still because of the prevalence of kind of like down and dirty, you know, just quick hits with photos and video. Like people aren't expecting something that's totally polished every time.
It makes it more real,
right?
More
yeah,
human.
It makes it. Yeah, you're exactly right. There's an authenticity to something that isn't quite perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a small business owner, you're wondering like, you know, what am I going to take a picture of, or this doesn't look quite right. I would say, you know, you don't want to tarnish your brand by posting crap, but like. you know, it doesn't. Don't think that it has to be at the professional level in order to use it for on Facebook.
And it's
going to
be more you than a stock photo.
Oh yeah, take it like an imperfect photo that you have taken yourself, you know, 100 times over, a cheesy stock photo of some guy smiling behind a computer.
Yeah, I think there's something big too to say about that whole the whole difference between a, you know, a well put together video and an overproduced video.
Yeah.
And I think there's an amount of, I think, distrust that really comes from an overproduced video because it's like it makes it
overscripted.
Yeah, it makes it feel like, you know, that with
it's like a commercial.
Its goal is to sell you something rather than just to communicate or convey some type of information. And I think there's something that the way the internet has developed and social media and networks have come along that make that not appropriate necessarily.
All right, I agree with that.
Why don't we take some time to answer a listener question? Dun, dun, dun.
We need like some music.
Yeah, I have to work on that for week three.
I've been practicing dun, dun, dun all morning. That's not good.
That's why we pay in the big bucks.
Yes. So, all right, so here's one of the questions we have. We actually did, one of the things we like to do to boost up engagement on our Facebook page is ask from time to time fill-in-the-blank type of questions. And one of them we've done recently is, I've always wondered blank about social media marketing. So we got a response from Betty Sarachik, and she said, she's always wondered if all this really works. I Facebook and tweet every day. I send emails once a week, and we still get very low traffic in the store. What am I doing wrong? What do we think, experts at the table? How can we help?
I think
Betty?
Josh should start this one.
First of all, it's hard to say.
It's hard to say. I mean,
without knowing the specifics of the business.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't do a lot of research on this, obviously, but you know, I think there's no silver bullet. You know, I think the fact is, I think it's time to think about what is your content and what are you selling, you know, and how do they relate to one another?
Mm-hmm.
I think you talk a lot about posting content that's sort of tangentially related to your business. You know, it's not necessarily, here's this thing that I'm selling, but it's related topics. And I think sometimes people, in an effort to be human, go too far afield, right? So I think that's one place that you could be having a problem. But the other is, you know, in a lot of ways, store traffic feeds social traffic. Not, you know, so
that
it sort of works in both ways. And there's no, you know, if your store isn't going well, social isn't the problem necessarily.
Well, that was kind of my question too. Is that like she's looking at social media and saying, "All right, I'm doing all these social media activities and trying to equate that to foot traffic in her store." My question would be, are you using social calls to action that tell people to come into the store if that's your goal?
Yeah.
So I think that's the important thing.
Draw
right
back.
And whatever existing customer base she has, is she engaging them? Like, that's a great place to start.
Yeah, do they want to connect with her on Facebook?
Right.
Or do they want to connect with her on email? Or, you know, what
say
is it
she,
that they want?
Say she only has 5 customers. If she can get those 5 customers to be super engaged, then she's going to drive traffic there. People will see that there's some engagement going on and kind of, you know, get the snowball effect. But if, you know, she hasn't looked at her own customers first to be involved in social media, then it's tough to kind of start fresh with people who don't already have a relationship with your business.
And it's easy enough to just ask. I mean, she's got a store, put some kind of sign-up thing on your counter. How would you like to hear from us?
Yeah, I think the big thing here is that you really need, you know, we would need to know what the business is and, you know, how that all fits into what the overall goals are for your business. But I think, like, if we gave an example, like an as if, like, what's some way, like, I'm thinking of in terms of, like, let's say, like a painter or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. If they're doing things and their goal is to get people to buy
like
more paintings, well, let's say an actual
like an artist,
oh,
okay.
Not a house painter, but although
I seem to be clear,
So like an artist, let's say. So you know, one of the things you can, one of the things that I think is cool about like the social media is that you can actually do some kind of like low cost like research to find out. You know, like, let's say you want to paint pictures of sunflowers all day, but nobody wants a picture of a sunflower. You know what I mean? And you're not selling those. One of the things that the people that are connected with you can always look at the things that they're interested in. And, like, let's say somebody's really, like, collects, like, dog figurines or something like that, and you said, "Hey, here's a new special where I'm gonna."
It's like Kathy Bates.
All these weird little things. But like, if you looked at that and you said, "Okay, I have somebody that's actively engaged with my page who really likes such and such. I'm gonna do a series of paintings on dogs." That would be especially attractive to that person who's connected with you that likes to collect dog things.
Another thing too is driving a sense of urgency. Whether you're inclined to do discounts or coupons of any kind, that's sort of up to you as a business. But whatever it is that you're doing, I think it's important to time box it in. It's important to say this week only.
I've never heard that verb before. Time box.
Yeah, use all that. I think it's important to create that sense of urgency where it's like this week only. There's a reason to act now.
Come in tomorrow
right.
to get
this.
Use
a current event, rainy day special, just today during the rain. 10% off. Even if it's a small discount, it really could drive
more
people.
Going along with what Dave said about the artiste. I'm married to an artiste, photographer. And, looking at your customer base, be smart about your marketing. So my husband's a photographer. He does a lot of weddings. And he gave me the keys to his Facebook page. So if I look at his Facebook page, most of his fans are young women in their 20s and 30s.
Hmm,
who gets married? Young women in their 20s and 30s. He's already photographed their wedding, but their sister's getting married. Their coworker's getting married. Their friends are getting married. So if he posts that he's got a booth at a bridal fair, there's a whole audience that can spread the word.
Even something different for her to think about, it seems like the problem she's having is actually just getting business in the first place. Social can be a great way for her to just do some searches and keywords in her industry and maybe find some leads of people who are in her area looking for similar services.
And see what other people are doing.
Look at your competition.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I think that's a good point, too, is that you can... One piece I think that people forget about is that you can use social media as a research tool for your business. And we do it all the time, the constant contact. Like, Danielle posts product questions every week, I think.
Right, yeah. What do you want to know? What do you like about this product? What do you want to learn more about? And
right,
it's a great way for us to build content for our blog, content for our social channels, and know what the audience really wants.
Right.
Cool. So we're going to wrap up this episode, and we're going to leave you with a featured tip from Danielle, who's going to share some information with us today about what you can do to get some better results from social media.
All right. Well, today's tip sort of relates to the conversation that we were just having, and the tip is think about your fans and followers like you would your email newsletter open rate. You can have thousands, but if they don't engage, it doesn't matter.
There we go. Thanks so much for listening, guys, and we'll catch you on the next episode. Bye now.